Fantastic. Thanks, Jim. Good morning, guys. My name is Jack Falsgraf. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is June 16th of 2022. And Jim, again, really appreciate you reaching out to me, asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope, because these are the types of things that keep me sober. And not like when I say types of things, kind of getting outside my comfort zone, sharing my story with other alcoholics, and really just being able to kind of be able to re relate to everyone else's experience on the call. And so, when I think about my experience, I think I have to go back to childhood fully contextualize my alcoholism. And from as long as I can remember, I have not felt comfortable in my own skin. I don't know if that was the way I was born or something with my upbringing, but by all means, I had a pretty normal upbringing. A two-parent household, fortunately, three amazing siblings. And it just felt like from the day I arrived on this earth, I was disgruntled. And I always, no matter what, just thinking about growing up was, how can I make myself feel better? I had friends, but I never truly felt like I fit in. And I think that characterized myself. I would have angry outbursts growing up, and really just I really just struggled on a day-to-day basis. And fortunately, as I was able to get a little bit older, into my early teen years, some of that stuff kind of subsided. But I think that desire and need to be liked, to fit in, was ever apparent. And to do that, I would wear a mask. And after a long time, you kind of forget who you are. And so the first time I picked up a drink was when I was roughly 13. And a lot of people say that they had this white light moment, and the second the drink hit their mouth, that they felt at ease or comfortable. And that was actually not my experience. The first time we stole some vodka from one of my friend's parents, and I had no idea what alcohol tastes like. And so I tried to take a sip of it and spit it right out. And had I only left it at that, I think I would have saved myself a whole lot of pain and suffering. But once I got introduced to alcohol and it kind of became a little bit more part of my going on daily life, I absolutely loved it. And everything that I had been searching for in my life, the confidence, the swagger, so to speak, and just the ability to make myself feel normal for once in my life, and to kind of just take that edge off. As I said earlier, I was an angry kid, and so just to be able to relax for even a second was, in my mind, the greatest thing in the entire world. And from there, kind of started my rebellion against my parents, so to speak. I was not someone who liked to listen to other people and take suggestions. I thought I was very headstrong and thought my way was the best way. And if there's anyone who got in that way, then they were wrong for this, or this reason. I put a lot of blame on other people growing up. And the whole while, I didn't like the person that I was. I didn't like the person that I was becoming. But it seemed so much easier for me to describe all my issues, that they're the problems of other people rather than me. And so, as I began to drink more and more and was introduced to other things, I became a yes man. Anything that you gave me that you thought would that you would tell me would make me feel better, feel different, I was all for it. And I like for a couple of years there, and upon reflection, some of the only really, I guess, fond memories of drinking alcohol. And when, like I said, I was able to talk to the girls, I was out being this version of myself that I thought I loved. And so for 2 years there, it was great. And so the early high school years. And then, as I kind of got to the age of 17 and 18, there were definitely some holes in the cracks. Blackouts started to become more frequent, and I would get myself in these precarious situations that, as like to myself, I would just say I'm the most unlucky person in the entire world. And, my family asked, how is that even possible? But it had started to happen again and again. And an example of one of those is I, when this is my senior year, going into my freshman year of college. So when I was 18, I went out to a graduation party. If for those of you that are in Buffalo, about 20 minutes outside in East Aurora, and then had a great time, was drinking from the bar, nothing out of the ordinary, and then got a ride home. And for some other reason, I still don't remember exactly why, I thought it was a great idea. I had my stepmom's car for the weekend, and I thought, oh, this is a wonderful idea. I've never driven drunk before, but I'm gonna drive back out to that party, and I'll just sleep there. Like that seems like a good idea, and so. Got behind the wheel of a car, and this is probably after roughly 8 or 10 drinks, and somehow by the grace of God made it out to East Aurora. But the place I was going was a pretty wooded area, and I just couldn't figure out where I was going, and obviously didn't have any help, didn't have anything in the GPS, but was just kind of on a joyride, so to speak. And so like I was going around a corner a little bit too hard, taking a left-hand turn. And kind of, it was a big car, so the back kicked out from under me, and I just absolutely slammed the entire right side of the car into a tree. Both of the mirrors on the right-hand side shattered, and the entirety of the right car was destroyed. And looking back, like there was a car driving right past me, and it was actually like some friends of friends that I knew, and they just kind of stopped, and they're like, I was just parked on the side of the road. They're like, are you okay? Like, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And that's kind of how I just dressed everything up. Yeah, I'm okay. And so, what did I think the next best idea was to? And that was to put the car in reverse and drive 20 minutes back home with basically the entire right side of the car destroyed. And so, I was doing 80 down the highway, just trying to get home as fast as I could, still not really comprehending anything that's going on. And somehow, by the grace of God, was able to make it home and put the car back in my driveway. And remain one, uninjured, two, didn't harm anyone else, and three, didn't get arrested. And I mean, if that's not some sort of miracle, I don't know. I really don't know what is. And then having that immensely difficult conversation with my parents in the morning, and still not realizing, I guess, the true breadth of what I had just done or what could have possibly come out of it. Like, I just did not really comprehend consequences and how they affected the lives of other people. I was so wrapped up in whatever just made me feel comfortable that I could not get out of myself at any time. And so obviously that was a difficult conversation, and there were consequences and those things, but nothing that really stuck. And I said, if you look back at all the times that I've gotten in trouble, especially when I was younger and under my parents' discretion, like any consequences I was given, I either skirted or, they just never really affected me. I just would always find a way around them, and or just, kind of beat my loved ones down to the point where they didn't have the answers. And so this was kind of the first moment where I think my entire family became a little bit more aware of, hey, there might be a larger issue there. But fortunately, I was somehow able to, kind of piece the rest of my summer together. Then I went off to school at a college in the Midwest that fall. And I think if things had gotten a little bit, had started getting pretty bad towards the end of my senior year of high school, things just kind of took off my freshman year of college. And, without any supervision, and, like I was an okay student, but I wasn't going to college to focus on my academics. And these blackouts became to get more intense. And fortunately, I was in like a small college town, so you could get away with a lot. I would follow, whether it's like passing out in bushes, walking into random people's houses around the bar, and just doing like these just obscene things that anyone in their right mind would never do. But like you're trying to make a bunch of friends when you're a freshman in college, and whether people would find it funny or not that troublesome, I was just able to kind of tread water a little bit and do fine enough on my academics that it wouldn't raise any questions. But like it always does with us, push comes to head. And I came home after that first semester of college. I was at a party down the street, and this is one of those situations where I look back and I think about how did I ever get myself in this. But I was we were at a party down the street, and my younger brother went out to like just go buy some mixers or something from 7-Eleven, and he comes back with three people that none of us really knew. And he was telling me that they were trying to sell him drugs, and basically just that like they kind of invited themselves in. And so I think I've had a couple beers, and I think it's a great idea. Like not only am I gonna A, buy drugs off these guys, but two, I'm gonna ask them if they want to ride home. Like they seem like nice guys, and they probably shouldn't be here and causing a little bit of a ruckus. And so they're like, yeah, we'll take you up on that. That sounds great. And I've already had six or seven drinks. So we get in my car. It's relatively late. But was able to kind of they weren't gonna leave the house unless they had a reason to. And so I was kind of got to put on my superhero cape and said, you know what, I'll do it. I'll get behind the wheel, take these guys home. And not we were in the car. There were myself in the driver's seat, one in the passenger and two in the back. And we weren't in the car for like more than 5 or 7 minutes when they were just pressuring me, like, let us drive, let us drive. And I had no perception of anything that could go poorly. Like I just did not have that radar yet. I was just very ignorant. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll let these guys drive. And so I pull over, I get in the passenger seat, he gets in the driver's seat, and then they just basically go on a joyride for what feels like an hour and a half, but it's probably closer to half hour. They're making stops at random houses and kind of doing whatever they want. And the whole every time one guy leaves in the car, another hops in the passenger seat. And still nothing's clicking at me, like something might be wrong here. And then fast forward another 15 or 20 minutes, and basically they stop. Like we're pretty much in like a not great neighborhood, and they stop on the side of the road and basically turn to me. The guy in the back kind of grabs me and punches me and just say, like, give us your wallet, your phone, your keys, your jacket, your shoes in the middle of winter in Buffalo. And so obviously I complied, and they took everything from me, basically left me on it with a t-shirt. And fortunately they let me keep my pants, but just socks in the middle of winter in downtown Buffalo. And I had to knock on about eight or nine doors before anyone finally answered. And I was just like, listen, please let me call the police. And fortunately someone was like, you can borrow my phone, just stay out here. And so that's what I did. And police came, and basically like it led to a whole nother process where my brother and his friend had to go down to the police station. And it's just one of those things where even as I'm telling it's hard to believe, but it's just these examples of situations which I would find myself in. And it was just it really just strained relationships on my family, my friends. And here I was just thinking I was the most unlucky person in the world and had no self-awareness that something might be wrong here. And when so fast forward kind of a couple years of college, more of the same, more blackouts. And my behavior started to turn from, like, I guess when I think people would characterize me as in high school and as a fun-loving guy when drinking, wasn't angry, upset, but it got to the point, like especially as I progressed through school when I became 19, 20, that my blackouts were intense. And I'd go from being that fun-loving guy to kind of just an angry Napoleon type-esque, power hungry, and would spit in your face, yell at you, and just some stuff that I would never ever do when sober. And I would wake up to hear these horror stories of what I'd done the night before, and how I could not fathom to deal with that bewilderment. I have so many recollections of mornings where I would get the details on what I did last night or look at my phone, and would have I in my mind I had no other option but to turn to the bottle again. And that led to 48 to 72 hour benders, and I wasn't an everyday drinker, but when I put a drink in my body, I was going until it took me out and until I blacked out wherever that was. And that that behavior just takes a toll on you. And so at the same time, this kind of self-discontent and self-hatred that I had for myself for the majority of my life just became more and more intense. And so, I didn't know how to deal with any of these issues. I hated myself. I hated the person I was in becoming. And I had no resources to be able to deal with any of my problems. And so the only thing that made sense to me was go for a part-time solution of booze. And, as things progressed and COVID came back around, I obviously my whole family was back in town. So these like when you can kind of skirt and hide at school, it was thrown right in front of them when I got home and drinking every day and just a shell of a person. Weighed about 20 pounds less, and classes became pass or fail, so I didn't really have to worry about academics. And there was just nothing I could point to in my life that I felt any positive about. I could give you a thousand reasons why I hated myself, but not a single one why I thought that my existence on this earth was worthwhile. And things like somehow was able to get through college without getting arrested or without drunk driving. There were a couple other times I got behind the wheel of a car. I remember one just driving back from a, like basically it's pretty small, and so you think in this college town I was in that you could get away with anything. But I just remember vividly going up kind of the main street, and this must have been at 2 in the morning after a lot of drinks, and just kind of not paying attention, music blasting, and just veering off to the left a little bit. And then all of a sudden I look up and there's headlights directly in front of my face and, throwing the car to the other side of the lane. But just like that, whether it would have been my life, someone else's life, I like a lot of anything that I had in my life would have been thrown away just like that. And there were countless moments like this that just never fully resonated with me. And by the time I was able to graduate school on time, obviously throughout the taking the easiest classes, finding the path of least resistance, because that was my MO, find the path of least resistance and, kind of act like you have it all together on the outside, but inside I was dying. And so was able to luckily land a job in New York City upon graduating. And after the stuff that I could get away with in Ohio was not the same stuff I could get away with in New York. The blackouts, the mouthing off to people, just poor judgment of character. And that started immediately. I got a little bit more money and a little bit more what I thought was flexibility. And so I was off to the races. And I remember waking up on, I mean, somewhere in lower Manhattan, I still don't know exactly where, but like basically with no shirt on, phone, wallet, keys gone, no shoes, and just getting in a taxi cab, having them drop me off and sitting there arguing with them for 30 minutes about how I didn't have money to pay them, didn't know how I was going to get in my apartment, and just didn't know what to do. And I, cherry pick these examples, but I could probably give you 50 others. It was just, I just could not keep myself out of harm's way. And, when I would show up to work on Monday, I would be a shell of a human being. I would go out from Thursday night to Sunday morning. And those Sundays in my windowless room in Manhattan were some of the darkest moments of my life. I felt I had no resources to deal with any of my issues. And, that sheer terror that you felt when you woke up after a binge or woke up after a night out, that became my life. And, Mondays showing up to work and being scared to talk to people, like have a normal conversation because I was just so afraid of the world. I'd become just the only thing I wanted to do was either go back to my apartment and sleep or drink. And, I'd become a reckless, and just the world had me by its grip. I know how to deal with anything in my life. And like I said, like the things I could get away with once, I couldn't get away with anymore. And it wasn't, I wasn't even in New York a year before, before, I guess 8 months after I got to New York, stuff was going sideways. And I'd kind of started putting out flyers that, hey, I might need some help. And things kind of came to a head in a weekend at the beginning of June in Florida with some buddies. And we were basically just out for like a weekend with our friends from high school that we hadn't seen in a while. And I was completely unstable. I at the restaurant that we were sitting at, I was trying to fight the wait staff and, trying to take a piss on the dinner table and just stuff that like I it's so uncharacteristic of me when I wasn't drinking, but this was the person I had become, because rare was it ever that I was not drinking, and when I wasn't, I just wanted to I was terrified and I just wanted to get away and hide. And so this became the version of me that I'd become. And finally this was the tipping point when I just became willing to ask for help. And when you initially ask for help and then a couple days goes by and you're like, maybe I have this under control. I think I can do this. But my parents had already interfered by that point. And that Tuesday morning after that trip, I told my work that I was taking a leave of absence and needed to go home to Buffalo to figure out what the next steps were for my family, just because I was having, mental health issues and needed a break. But we didn't know what that looked like. No one in my immediate family had dealt with addiction issues, and so this was a foreign concept. And so after kind of sitting with them and working through it, like we came to the decision that, if I'm gonna try, I didn't think it was getting sober at that time. I thought, press pause on life, take a step back, reevaluate things that are important to me. That's kind of the way I drew it up in my head. But we all know kind of what that looks like. And so I ended up going down to Florida for a 90-day in-person treatment program, which was still to this day the best decision that I've helped to make, and that has been help that other people have helped me made. Just the ability to kind of take a step back, remove the drink, and be in a safe space over the period of 90 days while I work through some of these issues. And this is when I was kind of first introduced to the concept of AA and steps. And like a lot of it, 5 hours a day was just group, like we would sit in group, and obviously you put 12 guys in a room together, all recovering from alcoholism and various addictions. Like you're gonna get like people are gonna get fiery. And it really helped me to kind of just begin to talk through some of this like issues I was dealing with, because I didn't have any outlet prior to this. I tried different therapists, never work. I had tried medication, did not work. And this was the first time where I felt like I could finally just be honest with myself, which was a foreign concept for me. When I'd spent the first 22 years of my life lying about every little thing that I did, what I had for breakfast, and like I said, just anything to make myself feel better. And so when I finally had the ability to start being honest with myself and addressing the root issue, things began to get better. And it wasn't immediately for me. And 90 days, it felt like 2 years, but in hindsight, what a short amount of time. But after that program, it's recommended that you go to sober living. And so I said, if I'm going to keep going on this path, I'm going to go somewhere I've never been before and try something new. So I settled on Missoula, Montana, of course, of all places, where there's a wonderful halfway house for young sober men. And this is when, as part of the recommended program there, it was a meeting a day, sometimes two. And so I just kind of threw myself into the AA program from there. I had gotten to the conclusion that whatever program I was running by myself was not working, and then I didn't have the answers. And that was a powerful realization. And then once I could kind of come to that myself, you're just opened up to a world of possibilities of truly what is out there that could help. And so get involved with a group in Missoula still to this day. Like I don't know if it's just hindsight's 2020, but one of the best AA groups I've ever been a part of. And immediately got a service position, and I was the basically the greeting coordinator. So I would find people sign up for meetings. I would come in early and greet, and I thought that was the damn near most important job I'd ever had. Coming out of I never really cared about anything, and so to kind of take some sort of responsibility and do something that I felt just a little bit was for someone else was amazing to me. And I think that and that experience just kind of characterized when I first start to begun my life switching from a life run by self-will and fear to a life that's kind of run on behalf of my higher power and other people. And so that's when I first got introduced to the steps and went through them my first time. And what just I it's so funny. It just feels like the right people are put in your life at the right time. And so I had an amazing sponsor who took me through the steps for the first time. Now, did I have any idea what I was really doing or anything of that nature? No, I was just kind of we were going through them and reading the book, and it's so hard, at least for me. It takes me multiple times through something or multiple times reading something to have any idea what I'm actually working on. And so, it was just good to feel like I'm moving in a positive direction. And I think that, by a life that was characterized by doing things for himself, trying to do the next right and indicated action was like a cornerstone of my recovery. Just the next thing that I could do, either for someone else or, like if you listen after some time, like when you get sober, like you kind of get that freedom of thought back, and you understand what actions are intuitively the right ones and the wrong ones. And so just to be able to kind of pull on that rope a little bit and a little bit more really kind of led me out of a deep, dark place. And the I have mostly for the most part I've AA to thank for that. And since leaving for since I guess that trip in Florida, I have been fortunate not to have a drink since. And I wish that sorry, I wish that all my character defects would stick away, but in my experience, like I needed a program to teach me how to live. And so by working the steps multiple times, service work and working with a sponsor, and it has not been perfect. There are plenty of times when even this morning I was, this whole week I was thinking to myself, all right, I'm just gonna get behind my computer early, get situated, write down a few talking points, and lo and behold, I find myself I'm pulled over at 9:40 a.m. and I have like 15 minutes to get home before this comes. And I haven't been pulled over maybe, I mean, maybe in my entire life. And so it's just, of course, like when I try to take control and try to squeeze one thing in, bad things happen to me. And since kind of I live back in Buffalo now, and since coming back, I've been able to find such a rich recovery community. And if I just feel very fortunate. Buffalo is such a strong AA community. I have a wonderful sponsor that I continue to work the steps with. And really getting to the root of those character defects in steps four, and sharing them with another person in step five took a lot of burden off of my shoulders. And then, for me, a lot of amends are just kind of living amends. And I know that if I stay close to this program, I'll be able to do my best to pay those people back that really stuck their neck out for me when I spent plenty of time giving them reasons not to. And yeah, I think, I mean, there's so many blessings from this program, but they will vanish from me like that. I've seen it happen multiple times when I stopped doing the things that are recommended to me, like working with a sponsor, getting sponsees, and truly just trying to help other people. Because I've done it many times. I'll go right back to my default, which is to lie, cheat, steal, really anything under the sun to make me feel better. And there's been a lot of good experience with amends and everything. But one of the things I felt most guilty about going, kind of coming back from, felt most guilty about once I finally had put the drink down was my best friend's brother had passed away a few months before I left for treatment. And I came home for the funeral and spent time around him, and then they had a party at their house afterwards, like a celebration of life. And I was a mess, and I had to be basically carried off the premises. And it put a real strain through him and I's relationship. And finally coming back, he was based in Buffalo when I got back to Buffalo, and he had always been supportive of me through going to treatment. Like, I was able to sit down with him, look him in the eyes, and make amends for those actions. And today our relationship has never been better. And I'd say the same goes for my siblings who and family who I really put them through hell. I wouldn't trade any I wouldn't trade honestly any of my experience for the life that I've been able to find through this program and the life that I'm able to live now. It's a blessing, and it's not perfect. But I understand how to intuitively deal with issues that come up in my life, and bring the perspective change is just immense. And through my relationship with my higher power, I continue to learn more and more. And that's honestly at the end of the day, however you get there, it all boils down to the relationship that you create with your higher power. You need to put something in between you and that next drink, and that's what the higher power is for. And in my experience, it's been ever evolving, but it's been just a wonderful relationship. And I couldn't tell you when the obsession to drink for me was lifted, but fortunately, it was. And I largely have my higher power, my developments in steps 2 and 3, and continue to take inventory in step 10, and obviously carry that message through to other alcoholics through step 12. But I could keep rambling on, but I'm grateful that I found a way to live a better life one day at a time through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I need to say it out loud to myself multiple times, but I just need to continue to do the things that are recommended to me on a daily basis. Because if I don't, I'll go back to lie, cheating, and stealing. And before long, I'll put a drink in my body and most likely kill someone else or kill myself in that act. And so, incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you guys today. I know I covered a lot of ground, typically a little bit longer than I go in a lot of my leads, but I appreciate this opportunity, and grateful for all of you for continuing to remind me why I come to these meetings and why I choose to live this spiritual program. So that's all I've got. Thanks.